Stephanie Shea, the voice for Usagi Tsukino, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds Podcast.
Can we just talk about how I had to text you your Nana's cell phone number so you could wish her a happy birthday?
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I had no idea I even had a second number in there. So if I texted, I just hit.
You texted the wrong number.
No, I hit new message. I hit Nana, and then it went to the wrong one. So then I hate to inconvenience you, but yeah, I believe you have the wrong number. And I was like, what in the fuck?
You're listening to episode 105 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of December 14th, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers last week's important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and original co-host TA. TA, this is a good week to have you on, and also not a good week just because it's the Game Awards results and I get to laugh at your brother for crushing him.
Hey, I'm always down to laugh at my brother. Let's be real.
Hold on. No laughing at your brother right now. I just want you to know this podcast episode is dedicated to a fallen brother that we lost this week. This one goes out to Dylan's computer that is no longer running and is dead for good. And that's why he couldn't be on, because his computer, I told him so many times, we don't play PC gaming. For whatever reason, your graphics card shits the bed, or the motherboard shits the bed, anything shits the bed. And what did he text us last night?
Yeah, I think it's my motherboard.
So fuck him, fuck his computer. He's joining the dark side of console gaming like a good person. Do you feel bad for him? I don't.
No, because who the fuck PC games?
I hope he doesn't listen to this, all right?
he's gonna tag us like tomorrow and he'll be like, yo, what the fuck, guys?
What have you been up to? What are you playing?
Dude, I've been just hyper fixated on Three Houses. I decided it was my time to play Edelgard's route, and I was like,
how many routes have you completed now?
So I'm five chapters away from completing Silver Snow, which is the church route. If you decide to side with Rhea, spoiler if you haven't played the game.
It's what the game's been, what, 3 years now? Dude, 2 or 3 years? Two, I think. 2019.
They're 20 years old. I'm just saying it now. Mm-hmm. But I'm five chapters away from beating that, and then I will have completed every route in the game.
Damn, I still have only technically completed Edelgard's, the DLC story, and I'm halfway through Claude's.
I honestly really like Claude's route.
Really, I feel like his, when it comes to the overarching story, has the least to actually do with the overarching story. Yeah. And maybe you, all right, yeah. Good. I was gonna say because that's what I got nervous about.
And besides, his master class is like fucking broken.
I really feel like all three of the house leaders end up being broken, which is kind of the point.
They're broken, but like they're all broken in different ways.
Yeah,
like Dimitri's is broken because like as long as he's at full HP, his attack is like through the roof. He'll always one shot enemies as long as he's at full HP and like he doesn't take damage. He's basically broken. Edelgard is broken because of her massive defense.
Yeah,
like just further, and then the fact that her axe rank is probably going to be really high to use her special weapon, so she'll end up destroying everything. Plus, I know her special axe is special ability to where she gets to keep attacking for the durability of the weapon. That's five attacks for free.
Yeah,
that thing is busted. But Claude's he starts Barbarossa. He is on a wyvern. And he's still like, and like his bows are through, like his bow status is boosted.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to have a high bow stat anyway, and he can fly, which means he has unlimited movement.
Which is even more broken because bows kill flying units even better. Yeah. And he just runs around killing all the other flying units on the map.
Yeah. Like you'd fly, you dismount, you take out the flyers, then in the same turn, you can remount and then be able to move 8 spaces. It's fucking broken. It is bullshit. But it's beautiful.
But it's bullshit in the right way. Like, I like when a game is broken in your favor.
Here's the thing. When you complete Claude's route, you will understand what I mean when I say that I think Edelgard is a little misguided. And honestly, Dimitri, too. They're both misguided.
That's the point, right? Like, that's the whole point of the three-house storyline, though, right? Is they're all misguided, and you get to see what results happen from all three of them being misguided, yeah. Almost.
Well, no. Claude is the only one that's not misguided.
Because he has nothing to do with that actual story.
Like he ends up getting involved, but like he wasn't involved from the start like they are as kids. Like that's
right, point. Right.
So Claude, like, dude, I'm telling you, like, when I, like, as soon as as soon as I got to the end of Claude's route, like the last two chapters, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I did not expect any of this.
Let me, talking about broken, I've been playing Pokemon Diamond, okay, the remake.
How is that?
Oh, I love it. This is how I want all remakes to be made. I would be totally fine if they made a Pokemon remake every year in this style.
Exactly.
Well, because it's like the chibi art style. It's a top-down view like the old Game Boy Advance DS games.
Yep.
It's not like that. We're trying to make it 3D bullshit. But then the fights are full 3D, almost HD. So it's, and it's a almost one-for-one clone of the DS games.
Who'd you pick as your starter?
Piplup. But this is what I was talking. So do you think this is fair? Talking about fun and broken. Someone gave me a Chimchar and Turtwig egg. So I'm rocking a team with all three starters.
Wait, like you traded for them? Or like
part someone of the story? No. Someone traded them to me.
Oh, I mean, guy, you're a little fucked up. Come on. Be a man. Be a man. Be a man and rock one starter. Like the
your
like
brother. Your brother thinks it's okay to use legendaries in his team.
Dude, he's been doing that literally since... I mean, to be fair, like...
No, there's no fair. You should never have a legendary in your team.
No. When he first found that to be acceptable for himself, it was part of his original on Red cartridge, like the Game Boy Red.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Where he beat it with Jolteon, Articuno, and Charizard. I mean, if you're limiting yourself to half the maximum capacity, then yeah, sure, using a legendary is fine. But like... Because you know you need that balance and power. But I mean, like for like his standard teams where he's always like using Kyogre, like in Gen 3, it's like, come on, man.
And then I've been playing Big Brain Academy, Brain versus Brain.
Yeah, you can tell us about that. So how, like,
absolute yeah, budget title, absolute budget title where it's like $30. It's literally all it is a compilation of like
just brain fucking, teasers and stuff like that, right?
It's not really brain teasers. It's like actual brain tests. So like one of the games is called Popping Balloons. And they'll put up a bunch of balloons on the screen. And they have a number on them. And you have to pop them in largest to smallest order. Yeah. Or no, lowest to highest. But you like, do lowest to highest.
And sometimes there's a speed and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, it's always a minute. So once you clear the screen, it just puts more on the screen.
Yep.
But as you're going, like the level gets higher. So then it starts including, you know... negative numbers.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to go backwards, right? So you want the largest negative number because that's the technically the lowest value.
I played a game like that on my iPhone a couple of years ago. Like I kept track with it every day, and honestly, it was a lot of fun.
That is literally like the best way to explain it. It's just a bunch of iPhone games compiled into one, and you get a score out of it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this is your brain score, right? And they have it different categories where this is like compilation, this is visual, this is analyzing, you know?
Yeah, problem solving, comprehension, things like that.
Yes. And the reason I said I'm so glad we didn't have this when we were kids is because you and your brother are so goddamn competitive. Yeah, you guys
on,
would...
Hold on. Why are you loving me? Why are you loving me?
Both of you are bad.
How?
You guys will argue over who's more competitive.
I don't recall arguing. I'm pretty sure I stopped talking as soon as he tried to throw it back in my face.
You guys are very competitive to the point. I could picture us sitting there all day just until one of you finally beat the other one's score, and then you hand it off to the next one, and then I have to sit there and wait another 8 hours until that kid beats the other one's score.
Okay, I really don't care that much, man.
When you guys get going, you get going. Let's see. Let's take a short little break. We got a lot to go through for this week. All right, we're back for the news. Quick news of the week. YouTube Gaming's latest biggest acquisition, Ludwig, has now been banned twice since joining YouTube. Ludwig started streaming only a couple weeks ago, so I believe around 14 days or so, and has already been banned twice. Most of them are DMCAs for playing music, which is kind of ironic because in his announcement video for coming to YouTube exclusively, he talked about how it's allowed to play music on YouTube. PlayStation characters Aloy and Jin from Ghost of Tsushima are coming to Fall Guys as playable skins. Senior Vice President George Kaklopo, a Sony Interactive Entertainment CEO who had worked in engineering on the PlayStation, or not CEO, sorry, I think he was just like a high-level manager, who had worked in engineering on the PlayStation Store since 2013, has been fired after allegations of him appearing in a pedophilia sting.
Oh, God.
This is wild. Like, it's a YouTube channel that does it. And the YouTube channel caught him showing up to meet a little boy.
Oh, no.
And in the video, he's wearing a PlayStation 5 shirt.
Dude, come on.
So he must use the fact that he works at Sony as like a ploy to meet these kids.
Literally, like, Sony's going to hurt. Sony's going to hurt a little bit for that.
And Garfield has been announced as the first DLC character for Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl, and he released on December 9th. I got on the internet when someone posted that he can't be played on Monday. I actually believed that.
Yeah, I know. We that was honestly really funny.
Well, because so many people were tweeting it, and I was like, you know what? That's a pretty funny joke. And then a news article had to come out and be like, no, that's not real. It's a
funny joke.
Well, they photoshopped it, and they fucking got me. TA, December 17th is coming up. Tobey Maguire Day, I'm calling it. I'm going Zero Dark Toby on the internet to make sure no one spoils it for me. Are you going to go see Spider-Man?
Probably not on the day, but...
Oh, it's impossible to get fucking tickets.
I am going to see it.
How nervous are you that it's going to get spoiled? Because I swear to God, I'm not going on the internet after a while.
I really don't care about spoilers. I went into Infinity War literally knowing 70% of what was going to happen in it. Knowing what's going to happen and seeing it and just watching the buildup and the emotional thing, that all is different to me. It really doesn't matter.
You're an absolute madman.
I could know that entire plot, but as soon as I see it, I'm going to be like, oh my God.
You're an absolute madman. All right, Tay, last Thursday we had the Game Awards hosted by Jeff Keighley. We had a pre-show that was 30 minutes. I believe the Game Awards themselves were 3 hours. And you would honestly not realize that it was a game award because they flew through those fucking awards, even to the point where if they had, say, 20 awards, only like 4 times did they call someone up to the stage to pick up your award. Really? The other times they were just like, and by the way, this game won this award. And they would list them. They had 3 of them announced during the pre-show, which is such a weird move.
You think like Jeff Keighley was backstage and was like, oh, we're still doing this? Oh, fuck. All right. And then...
Supposedly it's going to hit over 100. It had over 100 million viewers. It grows like, and he posts like the actual numbers. So these are just like the numbers going around. And he had a ridiculous amount last year as well, too. I would love to see the income he makes from this fucking event. Cause it's nothing but a giant commercial, like a stitched together 3-hour commercial. So me and your brother had our game awards predictions. Currently I am 2-0 against you, but, 1 year against you, 1 year against Dill. So this is mine and Dill's second year going towards it. I have it by category, the winners and our picks. I have the scores as we go on. So I'll start it with the big one. Game of the Year award. The nominees were Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village. Dill picked Village, which I wanted originally.
That wasn't a bad guess.
I actually liked that was the one I had I wanted the most, but he took it first. So I ended up defaulting to It Takes Two. And of course, It Takes Two was the winner. So that gave me the 1-0 lead. We had the best game direction. The nominees were Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. I again took It Takes Two. Dill took Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. The winner was Deathloop. That just goes to show that it's a category I don't understand at all.
No, that one is just literally, I think, just so subjective. It hurts.
I honestly think that's the this company gives us a ton of money, so whatever game we were never going to award them with a big award, let's give it to them here.
Yeah.
Best narrative. Again, so the score was still 1-0. Best narrative, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, True Colors, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Psychonauts 2. I took Life is Strange, True Colors, Dill took Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and that is actually the winner. This is such like a dark horse game because everyone was shitting on it before it came out.
Yeah.
And then once it released, like all the reviews are great. People talked about the story being way better than it needed to be. I heard the music on it is incredible. Square Enix too.
See?
What is? Yeah, sure. So Dill won that. It was a 1-1. We had best performance. This went to Erica Mori, Alex Chan / Life is Strange True Colors, Gino Carlos Esposito, Anton Castillo from Far Cry 6, Jason Kelly, who is Colt Vaughn in Deathloop, Maggie Robertson, Alicia Demetrius, Lady Demamestru or whatever from Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Village, and then Ozami Akagai, which is Juliana Blake from Deathloop. I picked Lady Demamestru as
D.
a joke.
Let's go Lady D.
I picked her as a joke just because the internet went wild over her.
I mean, honestly, that's probably where I would have went to.
I fully expected Giancarlo Esposito to win it, especially since he was appearing at the Game Awards and did one of the award presentations. And I was like, they're not going to fly this guy out here just to make him do that and then lose, are they? And they did. And it was pretty funny. and then shout out to Maggie Robertson, who not only she was trending after she won, because she was one of the people who actually got to go on stage and get her award. She was trending on Twitter because not only did they want her, the character she played, but they wanted her to step on her on people too, because she is like 6'10 in real life as well.
Really?
She was so tall. Put the score to 2-1. We had the best multiplayer game. The nominees were Back 4 Blood, Knockout City, It Takes Two. She looked probably heels. She looked massive. And she went up there with another chick, and she was way taller than the other girl. But again, heels, yeah. 6 feet for a girl is tall.
Well, yeah, no, but I know.
Best multiplayer, Back 4 Blood, Knockout City, It Takes Two, Monster Hunter Rise, New World, and Valheim. I picked New World. Dill took Monster Hunter Rise. I think he did that just to be a good friend to me. And then the winner was It Takes Two, which I was shocked by. It Takes Two is one of those games you have to play cooperatively. You can't play single player.
Maybe that's what they took into account.
Usually I would assume this goes to like an online game, right? Like,
that's too obvious, especially since like, you know, people still want the idea of like It Takes Two style multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, it won Game of the Year, right? So it's got to be good. So
yeah.
So score was still 2-1. Then we have best ongoing game. The nominees.
Continue.
No, go for it. Go for it.
No, I was going to say this is sacrilegious on Dylan's part for choosing what he chose versus what you chose. sacrilegious.
But you got to remember, Dill only plays like one game right now, and it's nothing but Apex Legends.
And here's the thing. I know me and him have never played the multiplayer Final Fantasies, but the fact that there was a Final Fantasy game on there and he didn't pick it, sacrilegious to his entire upbringing in video games.
So the category is best ongoing gaming. Nominees is Apex Legends, Call of Duty Warzone, Final Fantasy XIV, Genshin Impact, and Fortnite. Dill picked Apex Legends. I picked Final Fantasy XIV, and the winner was Final Fantasy XIV.
You were smart man to do so. I mean, that game was...
I only picked it because how old is that game?
The original run I think was 2012, and then like the rebooted Realms Reborn was like 2014.
That's what I was. If it's 9 years strong. 9 fucking years strong again, and they just had a giant expansion
and literally
released.
People are still shitting themselves over it. Like it's not going away anytime soon.
That's why I was like, you know, if it's ongoing game, I'll take it. So that brought the score to 3-1. Then we have best art direction. The nominees were Deathloop, Kena: Bridge of Spirits, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, The Artful Escape. Me and Dill went really
like this one. I think would have been tough no matter how you looked at it, because like. All of these are beautiful in their own way.
I think every game is, right?
No, I know, but I mean, but like pure, like especially like Kena, like Bridge of Spirits, like that game was like in your face.
Your brother took Artful Escape when he picked it. He said it's the only one with art in it. And you know what? I don't hate the reasoning.
No, I mean, guys, the answer is in the title. You know what I mean? Like,
sometimes it is the obvious answer. I will be a little honest, though. This is the only winner that I hate. Because best art direction, Deathloop is such a like, there's nothing special about the art style, in my opinion. It just looks like another shooter game.
Yep.
Where at least all of those other ones, to me, feel like they have their own personality.
Yeah.
So the winner was Deathloop, not Kena: Bridge of Spirits, which I was shocked because that almost looks like a movie at time and not a video game.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm actually like, and to be fair, like Ratchet and Clank, though, like, and like I get it, but like at the same time, like this one looked really good.
Yeah. And the Artful Escape, I Googled it. It's very artsy fartsy to where if it won, I would be like, I get it.
Yeah.
And again, it's got art in the name.
It should have set itself up.
So the score was still 3-1. Best score in music, the nominees were Cyberpunk 2077, Deathloop, Near Replicant version 1.22474487139.
You're a trooper for that.
Yeah, you like that? I had to get it down once. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy and The Artful Escape. Now, he didn't take The Artful Escape here, but the category is an art. Dill took Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, and then I picked Deathloop. The winner was Near Replicant. I know nothing about this game other than I know like the really, really big nerds in the world shit their pants for them.
Well, dude, everyone loves 2B. I don't know.
I just know her because of cosplayers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So score is still 3-1. Next one was Best Audio Design. The nominees were Deathloop, Forza Horizon 5, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village, and Returnal. Dill picked first. He picked Forza Horizon 5. I picked Resident Evil Village. I knew as soon as Dill picked Forza Horizon 5, he had already won this category. They were already talking about how every car in the game, they brought an actual physical car in and revved it up and everything to get the noises.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it went like above and beyond the noises it needed to do. Let's see. So the score was 3-2. I still had the lead. Next was Innovation and Accessibility. It was Far Cry 6, which Dill picked. Forza Horizon 5, which I picked. The other nominees were Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, The Valve Shadow of the Crown. I let Dill pick first. He picked Far Cry 6. He honestly said when he picked it too, like, I don't know why I'm picking it. It's just, he's like, I don't know what to do with this category. I then immediately picked Forza Horizon 5. I waited till he picked and then told him I knew that they added a sign language into the game. So really? Not only are there subtitles, but you can put a little person in the corner who gives you sign language, and it's like one of the first games that's ever done that. And he said, I wish you would have gave me that information prior to me making a pick.
That sounds like something.
I wasn't going to give him my insider information, you know? It's
no,
a game.
Of course not. You got to win.
And of course, Forza Horizon 5 won. It brought the score up 4-2, me. Next is Games for Impact. This is my least favorite category every year, and not because of what it stands for. It's just like impossible for me to predict.
Yeah.
And because I can't predict it, I hate chaos, and I hate it. The nominees were Before Your Eyes, Boyfriend Dungeon, Chicory, A Colorful Tale, Life is Strange, True Colors, and No Longer Home.
I know what you mean, because like the word like what is like what are they using as a definition for impact?
So I looked up like the definition, and then even when I read it, me and Dill sat there like idiots trying to figure it out.
I don't know. I'm not gonna lie to you. I know that Life is Strange was the winner, but I feel like if any time there's a category where Life is Strange is an option, usually that's the one you pick, because for some reason Life is Strange as a whole does remarkably well.
And I agree with you, but if you go up a couple times, didn't I already take Life is Strange for something and I fucking lost? Yeah, I picked it for best narrative.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Like you said, I don't know a lick about Life is Strange, right?
Yeah.
I just know that it's like one of those games.
I fucking love this.
Yes. And I looked up gameplay and it looks boring as shit. But it's one of those story games, right? Where you just walk and it tells a story as you're walking.
It's because you're supposed to get so invested in the story and the characters. All right.
I lost my spot because something
best
popped up.
Independent game is next.
All right, best independent game. All right, so the score was still 4-2. Me and Dill took the L there. Best independent game. There was Death's Door, Kena's Bridge of Spirits, Inscription, Loop Hero, 12 Minutes. This one I thought could have gone anyway, and it would have been okay with everyone, because every game here on this list at one moment in time this year had like the talk of all games journalists.
Okay.
In 12 minutes and Kena Bridge of Spirits, I hate the fact that they're included on this. Kena Bridge of Spirits had such a Sony backing.
Yeah.
And 12 minutes had such a Microsoft backing. 12 minutes also has James McAvoy in it, Daisy Ridley, and William Dafoe.
How independent can it actually be?
And then Kena Bridge of Spirits, I'm pretty sure, had money from Sony to be an exclusive, and they showed it at every Sony State of Play.
No, yeah, that's true. They did. I remember that was something I was looking forward to. I think like the second, at least for me, looking forward to hearing about it, like the second it came, like the second they introduced it.
And then I knew Death's Door was on a ton of lists for like possible game of the year, not only just like independent game, like game of the year, like nominee for a bunch of other sites. So I was like, you know what? This has got to be the one that wins. I felt like Kena Bridge of Spirits was the easy answer. And like you said, sometimes the easy answer is correct because it ended up being Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Yeah.
Let's see. The score was still 4-2 at this time. Next, we have Best Mobile Game. The nominees were Fantasian, Genshin Impact, League of Legends Wild Rift, Marvel Future Revolution, and Pokemon Unite. Dill took Pokemon Unite. I took Genshin Impact. I've heard that Fantasian game is incredible. And I think it has something to do with some of the makers of Final Fantasy, so you might want to check it out.
Yeah.
But the winner was Genshin Impact. I don't know if Genshin Impact is actually good.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I still see people on Twitter being like, how the fuck have you guys not played Genshin Impact yet?
But to me, it's on the level of Shade. Raid Shadow Legends, right? Where every time you watch a YouTube video, you have to watch a Genshin Impact clip before you can watch your video.
No, I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen Genshin Impact ads in a long time, but I still see like regular people talking about it. And I'm like,
you haven't seen the Genshin Impact ones where it's like new character. And it's like,
I haven't gotten a Genshin Impact ad in a long time.
God, it's just like always like, and it always looks like a 13-year-old chick with a giant sword.
I know. Anime, man.
Anime. So the score at this point was 5-2. Then we have Best Community Support. The nominees were Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, No Man's Sky.
What do they define as community support?
Community, as in the gamers, but also the developers who are, I believe, putting in. Like, if it's a toxic fan base and everything like that.
Again, then I'm honestly surprised neither one of you picked Final Fantasy 14 because I literally hear nobody like of all these options on here, I've literally seen nothing but shit talk for, like from their own community except for 14. No, I've yet to see any like hierarchy and whenever you see a YouTube video about your franchise that you're watching and they're always like, this is when the divide and the fans came, like. I have yet to see that at all from 14.
So the only reason I didn't take 14 was because at this point I had already taken 14 in another category.
And you're like, there's no way it'll win twice.
Well, not only that, the way I saw it was Destiny 2 was in the similar thing. Like, how long ago did Destiny 2 come out? And they have a new expansion coming out.
Yeah.
In the beginning of next year. And I have seen nothing but hype for that. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this is Destiny 2 time. And then again, Dill only plays Apex Legends, so he picked Apex Legends.
Yeah.
We're both idiots, and the winner was Final Fantasy 14.
Dude, he came over the other day, and he was like, yo, turn off this garbage game when I was playing Three Houses. And he's like, play Apex. And I was like, how about you play a good game like Three Houses? And he actually had to play a little bit, and he's like, all right.
Yeah, but how high was he?
I mean, he dropped off the kid. He was probably all right.
Let's see. The score was still 5-2. Then we have Best Debut Indie Game. The nominees were Kena Bridge of Spirits, Sablin, The Artful Escape, The Forgotten City, and Valheim. Honestly, I hate this category too. I hate this like Best Debut Indie Game.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, I don't get what the purpose is, but the winner was Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Like, it should just be Best Debut or Best Indie. Like, have one or the other.
Well, they already have Best Indie Game, right?
Then have Best Debut.
But winner was Kena Bridge of Spirits. Neither Dill or I picked it. Score was still 5-2 at the time. Then we have best AR/VR game. This has got to be such a dying, like, I still can't believe how low of care there is for VR.
Yeah.
After being out this long and the fact that it still goes. Best AR/VR game. The nominees were Hitman, I Expect You to Die, The Spy and the Liar, Lone Echo 2, Resident Evil 4 VR, and Sniper Elite VR. Dill won by picking Resident Evil 4 VR. Again, it's one of those ones that when he picked it, I was like, oh, well, I already lost this category. So yeah. I went funky. I went Expect You to Die 2, The Spy and the Liar. You could show me three screenshots and tell me which ask from three different games. And you would have to tell, like, ask me, hey, which one is the I Expect You to Lie or I Expect You to Die? I would have no idea. I have no idea what type of game it is. I have no idea what it looks like. I've never even heard anyone talk about it. At least the Hitman series I know and the Sniper Elite series I know.
Yeah.
So the score at this point was now 5-3. Then we have Content Creator of the Year. The nominees were Dream, Fusely, Gales, Ibla, and The Grefg. How do you think you pronounce that?
The Grefg?
The Grefg. I have no idea. And when they said it during the show, it was not what I would have thought, and I already forgot how you say it.
Probably like The Grefg.
It's I don't even think, I think it's like The Frag or something. The winner was Dream, who Dill picked. I honestly don't know a single person on this list. I don't know if you know any of these people.
Nope, never. I've never heard of a single one of them.
Isn't it crazy that I would say we know somewhat about video games and we still don't know a single person on this list?
And, like, you know, I spent a lot of time watching, like, content, and yet I still don't know anyone on this list.
That just goes to show you, though, like, how big and how much of a bubble we all are in, right?
Yeah, seriously, you think your bubble's big, but then you find out it really isn't.
So that brought the score to 5-4. Then we have best action game, Back for Blood, Chivalry 2, Deathloop, Far Cry 6, and Returnal. Dill picked Deathloop. I picked Returnal. The winner was Returnal. I think I did the scores wrong and made it even closer here because it looks like I gave Dill the point, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say something. Are you the left or the right?
I'm the left.
Yeah, well, then you gave him a point and not yourself a point.
Oh, well. 6-4. The score was 6-4. So next we have Best Action Adventure Game. The nominees were Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Metroid Dread, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village, and Psychonauts 2. I picked Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Dill picked Metroid Dread. And the winner was Metroid Dread. That brought the score to 6-5. I'll be honest with you, this felt like an award that they were like, hey, we got to make sure we give something to Nintendo. Because Metroid Dread, I loved it. I played it this year. I think it's a fantastic game. There's no shot in hell you're saying that this game is anywhere in the same conversation of games like Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, even Resident Evil Village. Just from a technical aspect level, like...
Because wasn't it 2D?
2D, 1080p.
Yeah, so...
Like,
yeah,
again,
I know what you're saying.
Absolutely loved it. It is what it is, though, right?
But maybe they're saying that the simplicity is on par with, like, how beautiful and, like, how fluid the other ones in 3D work. Because sometimes if simple is done right, then, I mean, technically it is worthy.
This felt like the We Gotta Give Nintendo Something award.
Yeah.
Either way, it was cool to see Metroid win. I hope that means Nintendo keeps making Metroid games.
I'm sure they will.
This is the first Metroid, new 2D Metroid game in over like 15 years.
Well, think about it. And like now they'll start listening to some of you guys' requests. Which is the one you guys have been wanting for us? Metroid what for? Metroid Prime?
I have no idea. Last time I saw that, I was still in college and didn't have a gut. So who knows?
Oh, man, you dinosaur. That was a long time ago.
Let's see. The next one is Best Role-Playing Game. I can't believe... Cyberpunk 2077 was nominated, which was absolutely hilarious to me. Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, Shin Megami Tensei 5, and Tales of Arise.
I'm not going to lie. If I had saw this list, like, I mean, I feel like Dylan wouldn't have had a shot because he's really not aware of the Tales series. But like, as of like me, because of you, I've played them now. Like I've followed a lot of people that do. I would.
Have you seen Tales of Arise though?
Oh my god, yes.
It's probably one of the best looking games I've ever seen.
Absolutely, like without a doubt. And like that's why I was like, as soon as I saw it on the list, like, oh, it's gonna win. There's nothing else that even comes close.
The combat of Tales of Arise is what I remember Kingdom Hearts to be. Because if you go back and play Kingdom Hearts, like the early ones,
yeah,
you forget how janky and actually stiff it is.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, it isn't. It's janky and shit until you get like the movement boosts, which is like late game.
But especially one, right?
Oh yeah, like that original jump and the dodge roll is very delayed and very.
It's very like, stiff. Like you almost feel like you're still on a track. But I swear to God, until I went back and replayed it, this whole time in my mind, I thought it was like the smoothest, most incredible gameplay I'd ever had. Yeah. No.
But I know what you mean. Two is smooth, but like Birth by Sleep and Dream Drop Distance is like where they perfected movement.
But that's how you always remember the old ones. So it's like a kick in the groin. I picked Tales of Arise, Dill picked Scarlet Nexus. I believe they're both Bandai Namco and have a similar look too.
Yeah. But
Tales of Arise ended up taking it. I knew right off the bat this was going to win.
I know exactly what you mean. Like it
had like the highest ratings between games journalists.
Did he get to pick first on that round? Do you remember?
I did, but
Oh, you did?
And not only that, like you said, I don't think he even knows what Tales of Arise is.
Yeah. But to be fair, like, I mean, I was always vaguely aware of the Tales series, because, like, I always knew about, like, Symphonia and, like, some of those, but, like, I never really played it until, whatchamacallit, the one that,
I only played it because it ended up coming to the Switch. I didn't get you that. You ended up buying that because one of your other friends told you.
I didn't say you got it for me. I said you got me on it.
I don't even think I did. I think it was one of your friends, because you ended up talking to me about it and being like, I was like, yo, I have that too.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I definitely didn't,
Oh, someone told you.
No. I remember I was like just bored and I saw it in the PlayStation 4 store and I was like, you know what, this actually looks pretty dope. Let me give it a
and
shot.
And they always go cheap for like 15, 20 bucks.
I know, which is wild.
For the longest time, the Tales series was only known to me by, because Lloyd is always, from Tales of Symphonia, is always like one of the highly requested Smash Bros. Characters. So it's he was always just like that's the guy people want in Smash that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
So that brought the score to 7-5. Next we have most anticipated game. Again, I hate this category because it's a list of games that we know very little about, right?
Yeah, it's literally just, you know, pick one and hope to God you win. It's like it's one of the draws.
One of the nominees is called the sequel to The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild because they don't even fucking know the name.
I mean, to be fair, like they never said it was Breath of the Wild 2.
No, they did. They said it's a direct... Right, exactly.
We don't know that the number 2 is actually in the
title. Which is why they call it the sequel instead of like Breath of the Wild 2.
But like, imagine if that's the actual full name.
There's
like,
no shot. They've never done it, like a 2.
Imagine it is called the sequel to Legend of Breath of the Wild.
Well, what is it? Square Enix, where it's... what were the game? Where they used to call it Project Octopath, right?
Yeah.
Project Octopath Traveler, and they have what? Project Triangle Square or something?
The newest project is Project Triangle Strategy.
And then they always act like name coming soon, and all they do is drop the project.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I hope they keep it as the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I would love that. I would buy the shit out of that.
Power move and a half. All right, so most anticipated game, I took Elden Ring. Dill took God of War Ragnarok. The other nominees, Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Starfield. I actually really liked Dill's pick of God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I was between that and Horizon Forbidden West, only because there were two of the games that we know the most about on this list.
Yeah.
But I picked Elden Ring because no one's shutting up about Elden Ring right now. And Elden Ring won. By the way, this is the second year in a row that it has won Most Anticipated Game of the Year.
Okay, which means one of these years we're going to get it.
It's got a release date of February. February of next year.
We'll see. We'll see. Which means it might still have time to win next year, too.
I got to like revise the score as we keep going. All right, so the score now is 8-5 me. Then we have Best Fighting Game. This was unfair because it was one of the ones I got to pick first.
Yep.
The nominees was Demon Slayer, the Hinokami Chronicles, Guilty Gear Strive, Melty Blood Type Lumina, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown. In my opinion, there's only three actual fighting games in this category, like in this list of nominees. Guilty Gear, Melty Blood, and Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
Demon Slayer is the typical anime fighter, like a Naruto Shippuden or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
And then Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is, come on. Come on.
Hey, they're just happy to be there, okay?
Honestly, it was a win to them, I bet, for being there.
Yeah.
So the winner was Guilty Gear Strive. It's the only one that I know that competitively is a big deal. I know Melty Blood has actually a pretty strong community, but it never means the biggest.
Yeah.
And Guilty Gear Strive ended up winning.
I mean, like Melty Blood is one I'm aware of, but like I kind of figured Guilty Gear, because Guilty Gear has been around for a long time.
I only know the name Melty Blood too. Again, it's one of those things you could bring three screenshots of three different fighting games and say, pick Melty Blood, and I couldn't help you.
Yeah. Right.
So that brought the score 9-5. Then we have Best Family Game. The nominees were It Takes Two, Mario Party Superstar, New Pokemon Snap, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, and WarioWare Get It Together. The winner was It Takes Two. Dill picked Mario Party Superstars. I took Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. This is the first year, I believe, that a Nintendo game did not take this award.
Really?
I believe this is the first year.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know why, but I feel like I would have taken It Takes Two.
Do you know what It Takes Two is about?
Isn't it? I honestly, like...
It's about two parents getting divorced, and the child turns them into toys so they can't get divorced, and they have to work their way together to
get back to normal.
And I'm pretty sure it ends with them still getting a divorce.
But so, at least now they're friends.
I don't know if that's true.
Like, is it like I've seen
how
I've
is seen that a family game? Like, when I think family game, I think mom, dad, boy and girl sit there, can play together, and it's just a fun romp on the couch.
You know, it's really weird that you're only thinking in that kind of dynamic, because, you know, boy and girl, come on, man.
I said mom, dad, non-gender specific.
Yeah, but then you said boy and girl, like, bro. You just alienated so many potential listeners.
All right. So instead, I am choosing two partners and two non-binary children. So go fuck yourself.
Hey, why'd you, dude, they could be just children. Children is not gender specific.
That, what do you think non-binary is, you idiot?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that was added to appease the people that, like, probably didn't need it.
So winner was It Takes Two, and neither of us took It Takes Two. Next, we have Best Sims / Strategy Game. The nominees are Age of Empire 4, Evil Genius 2, World Domination, Humankind, Inscription, Microsoft Flight Simulator. I chose Age of Empires 4. Dill picked Evil Genius 2, World Domination. Dill told me he took Evil Genius 2, World Domination because the name was cool. I took Age of Empires 4 because it was one of the only games I knew. And I knew that Microsoft Flight Simulator won last year. And I was like, I don't think they would bring us here just to show that again. And Age of Empires 4 ended up winning. That makes the score 10-5. If you're noticing a trend, it's that I'm running away with the fucking lead here. Next, we have Best Sports / Racing Game, F1 2021, FIFA 2022, Hot Wheels Unleashed, Forza Horizon 5, Riders Republic. I picked Forza Horizon 5. Dill picked Riders Republic. The winner was...
First? Is that why you won?
Yeah, I picked it first. Okay. That brought the score 11-5. Now, these are all for the tiebreaker.
Yep.
So this one actually doesn't count towards the score. So that was the end right there. I won 11-5. Yep. Me and Dill didn't originally want to do the esports stuff.
Yep.
But then we decided we should make picks and then lump them all together as one, and whoever had the most out of the esports would get the tiebreaker if it came down to that.
Yeah.
We were stupid, ignorant sluts because we forgot that I was playing Dill and I was going to crush him anyways. So the best esports game, the nominees were Call of Duty, CSGO, Dota 2, League of Legends, and Valorant. Dill picked Valorant. I picked League of Legends. The winner was League of Legends. To be honest with you, Dill got the first pick, and I was mad because I wanted Valorant.
But you were right to go second.
Next, we had Best Esports Athlete, Collapse, Simple, Showmaker, Tens, and Simp. I picked Simp on his name alone. Dill picked simple because it was close to simp, and the winner was simple. next, we had best esports team. It was Atlanta FaZe from Call of Duty, DWG Kia for League of Legends, Nautis Vincree from Counter-Strike Global Offense, Sentinels for Valorant, and then Team Spirit Dota. Dylan picked Atlanta FaZe. I picked Sentinels. The winner was Nautis Vincree. Again, I don't know what it is. CSGO and League of Legends are older than me, and they're just still here, dude.
I know.
They're not actually older than us, but I'm just saying that's how fucking old they are.
Yeah.
Next, we have best esports coach, which I can't believe is a category in even a thing. Like, what do you do? Tell them to click better?
Dude, they're the guy that comes up with all the strats.
Is it frag out? Like, just go for it, dude.
Frag
out. best esports coach, Aaron Silent Gaziz, Andre Ein Shulkov, Andre Blade Horodensky, James Crowder.
I never would have read that as Blade.
You didn't notice the one and the three as letters instead?
I would have been, I don't know if I would have.
Would you call him B1AD3?
I may have, honestly. I mean, that sounds more video gamey than Blade.
Kim Koma Jong-un, and the winner was Koma. So me and Dill were both wrong because I picked Crowder and Dill took Blade. He took Blade because his name was cool. Again, he had that strategy for the night and it didn't pay out at all. So next we had best esports event. The nominees were 2021 League of Legends World Championships, the International 2021, PGL Major Stockholm 2021, PUBG Mobile Global Championship 2020, and Valorant Champions Tour Stage 2 Masters. So I got to pick first. I picked Valorant Champions Tour just because Valorant is like the new hot chick at school.
Yep.
And honestly, it always goes to League of Legends. So I was like, this is going to be the year they finally change it. And then it went to League of Legends.
Gags, you always stick with old reliable. That's why it's old reliable.
I'm sick of it. All right. So I'm going to go through everything that was announced. So you let me know if any of this means anything to you at all or if you care. So first we had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. Brief trailer. It's that Friday the 13th game style. It's, you know, one person plays as Leatherface and everyone else is someone trying to get away from him.
Very interested because honestly, they should have done more, I think, after Friday the 13th. I don't know why we let that just kind of fade out.
The license ran out, and then I heard the people who own the Friday the 13th license were a dickhead to work with after.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. So let's pick a killer that isn't held up by some douchebags so we can get some quality gaming.
Then we had Homeworld 3 gameplay trailer. We had the expansive Telltale series reveal. A Telltale series combined the popular show with the team behind Life is Strange, True Colors. I believe this is a Star Trek game in the Telltale series, and it did not look good. Then we got Babylonian's Fall gameplay trailer. The new Sword Slash from Platinum Games showed up at the awards. This is a Sword Slash game from Platinum Games who do Bayonetta and Astral Chain. It's a four-player co-op, and it's like a live service, so people are a little skeptical on it. They showed it before, and it looked like absolute shit the last time they showed it.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since they showed it again, and I think at least now it looks like a game that you could be proud to say is a game. Then we got another look at Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, which is the large expansion coming to Monster Hunter Rise.
Okay.
It was just the problem with this stuff is all CGI trailers with not much gameplay.
Yeah, so I mean, how can you actually gauge that without any real gameplay footage?
Exactly. Then we had Thirsty Suitors reveal trailer. This is the new Annapurna Interactive game. People love this studio, but it's like, I don't know. Again, it's a little strange. Evil West gameplay trailer. We have a nice Death reveal trailer. This actually looked cool. This looked like a side scroller where you play as Death. Kind of like a Metroid game, but instead of Samus, you're literally Death, and he's out there collecting souls.
It's about time someone gave that guy a fair shake.
And then we had Planet Lana cinematic trailer. This was funny to me. Atlas showed up, and it was like the last big announcement of the Game Award, the pre-show, and they said they were bringing a game to the Switch and PS4, and we thought we were finally going to get a Persona game on the Switch, and
so
we got
regular Joes could actually try a Persona game.
We got Persona 4 Arena Ultimix port. So this is the spin-off fighting game of Persona 4.
Great. I'm going to dive into the community so hard.
Do you know, like, Joker is playable in like 3 games, I think, on the Switch right now, and none of them are Persona. Or none of them are like an actual Persona mainline game.
Yeah.
He's playable in Smash Bros. He's playable in that everything but an actual goddamn Persona game. Like, that's all. They will do everything they can.
You and I will never get to play that series as long as we live.
Technically, you can. Like, it's on a PlayStation 4.
True, but like,
and it's like $9 on the PlayStation 4.
At this stage, I'd rather have that on the Switch,
because it's made to be handheld.
Yes, absolutely. And and the more content I see on the Persona series, it 100% screams to be handheld.
All right, so these are the biggest games announced. We had Hellblade 2. Sensuna Saga gameplay. It was supposed to be the first real big next gen gameplay we see, and everyone totes how beautiful it is. But it's like one of those games where it's looked beautiful, but how the hell does it play? I don't care how good it looks.
Yeah.
Then we had Star Wars Eclipse. This is a new game from Quantic Dream, but they're known for those games where you make decisions.
Yep.
And there's not much gameplay to it. So, again, it's just going to be a very pretty Star Wars game.
I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Then we had Lost Ark release date. Wonder Woman game was revealed. This is by the team behind Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. That was a bit of a surprise. I don't know how big of a game that's actually going to be. This was for your brother. Alan Wake 2 was finally revealed and announced.
Why is that for my brother? I'm the guy that played and beat Alan Wake.
He talks about Alan Wake all the time.
He played it. Here's the thing. If I say right here, I don't remember if he beat it, he's going to immediately jump down my throat and be like, I fucking beat it, okay? So he probably, let's say there's a good chance he beat it.
Are you excited that Alan Wake is coming back?
Dude, absolutely. I love that game. And
what is Alan Wake? Like, it's one of those games that I've missed entirely.
I thought, didn't you play it too?
No, I have. I don't even know. It's another game. You can show me 3 different screenshots and I can't help you. I'll probably pick out the Resident Evil game.
Oh, dude, Alan Wake was a really... No, I remember you and I tried... Like, I remember one time a couple years ago, you were like vaguely piecing the plot back together with me because it had been a while since I played it.
No, I swear to God, I have never... I just knew it as a game, like, doesn't he walk around with a flashlight?
Yeah, like, you have a flashlight and a gun and, like, you have to flash the phantoms and like make them semi-tangible with the light then before you're able to neutralize them with the gun. But like, you always have to keep track of your battery. Like, you have to hope to God you have spare batteries. And like, there were some stretches where like batteries were thin and like, you have to really choose whether or not you need to take down the enemy or like get your ass moving. And dude, like, that game was like kind of hard towards the end, especially because I was like 13, 14. I mean, like, I wasn't good at that style of game yet.
All right, I am looking at the list of everything they announced. I'm only going to call out the ones that even really matter. So we got our first look at the Sonic 2 movie. We got our first trailer. We got to see Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. Idris Elba is Knuckles.
My buddy said, I really pray that he gets his wish. He said, if there isn't just one hint of Ugandan Knuckles somewhere in that movie, he's like, then it's fucked up. Like, he hopes that, like, you know, they do it as like a cutaway scene where like Knuckles is like, we should go that way, and then Sonic looks over at Knuckles and like, wait, which way? And then he's like, let me show you the way. And then it's and
why then would it's, you want that?
And then it's Ugandan Knuckles, and then he looks away, looks back, and then like Knuckles looks like normal again. He's like, wait, what was that? He's like, I don't know. And then they keep on going or something like that. I also would love that too.
If they were to make a Sonic 3, you'd have to tease Shadow at the end of this, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no way they're jumping into Sonic 3 without Shadow.
Ben Schwartz is Sonic. Idris Elba is Knuckles. Who the hell would play Shadow?
Who's someone that's like kind of edgy?
That's a good point. Who is kind? Pete Davidson? I hate that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not taking that as a real pick.
But that has potential.
No, it doesn't.
Dude, if Chris Pratt can be Mario, then anything has potential.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated got its PC release date. It's
another platform I can't play on.
December 16th, and neither can Dill, so who cares, right? let's see. I'm going through the list now. Gollum game. We got another cinematic for the Gollum game. And you know, people love the Lord of the Rings series, and Gollum is the last person I want to play as.
Yeah, no.
And it's
I would rather them like remake like the Middle Earth games they made in the PS2 era, and just like who the fuck likes Gollum? No one likes him as a character.
Cuphead Delicious Last Course release date and trailer.
So well, that's for you, right?
Fine.
There.
Yes, dude. And when it started playing, I was so happy because it started off with a little tease of like little puppets. And I was like, please give me just a little bit about this because it was supposed to come out this year. And it got also, it took me forever to realize Delicious Last Course just stands for DLC.
Oh, that's good. Honestly, I like that. That's better than downloadable content. Fuck that shit.
So it gave us a trailer and a release date of June 30th, 2022. It looks way meatier than what I was expecting, which is good because it's taken so long. At this point, I honestly thought they were just going to break it out and call it a sequel.
Yep.
So I'm super excited. It's still June 30th, 2022. That's still way further away than what I was hoping. I was hoping it was going to come out like late in December or even early next year.
But hey, I mean, you know what's coming. That's good. That's all you need to know.
They showed off the new Sonic game again, Sonic Frontiers. We got the actual title. It's one of those CGI trailers, so everyone just kind of makes up what they think is going to be.
Is there even such a thing as hype for a Sonic game?
That's the thing. There is. That's the problem. There always is, and I always feel so bad because Sonic fans haven't had a good game ever.
No.
And they just always get super excited for the game to be a 4.
Here's the thing. Sonic jumped to 3D and then became shit. And every game after that is like over.
But Sonic Mania is so good. Do you remember that? So? The 2D re-release the new 2D games.
Yeah, I remember that. And yeah, again, all they did was they made the old games that were already good and they made it better.
Like what? When it does good, why do they sit there and go, all right, like let's do this again, but now make it shitty? And then when they say, yeah, but it's gonna be shitty, you say, we'll make it 3D and it'll all be better. I got Sonic Forces, that the last 3D game, for $3.30.
Dude, my favorite, like some of my favorite Let's Plays to watch are people playing all of the 3D Sonic games because they all lose their minds about one third of the way through at the same points.
To be fair, Sonic Adventure 2, I love that game. Like, unironically, I love that game.
Here's the thing. I think that game was at a borderline when we were kids where we didn't, like, it was good enough. And then
100%.
And like, despite its technical flaws, but then once we grew up.
No, I still would fuck around in that Shao Garden if I could.
Dude, you in the fucking Shao Garden.
It's not just me, dude. There's a whole group of us online. We're right next to the furries, and we love it. Let's see. Then it showed the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League gameplay. This is the first time we got to see gameplay. I have done a full 180 on this game. I honestly expected this game to be like a Diablo kind of clone, but with those characters.
Yeah.
Not a good game. They showed the gameplay finally. This game looks incredible. It looks like a Batman Arkham game with these four characters. Multiplayer. And you're going around fucking shit up. Even Boomerang looked awesome because they made him part of the Speed Force.
Oh, really?
Which I looked it up. Apparently, certain parts of Boomerang, he actually is part of the Speed Force.
Really?
And I never knew that. So his character throws the boomerang and zips around and catches the boomerang and then is running up buildings. So he looks like an actual, because if you look at like, you know, I forget the name, but the giant shark guy, Harley Quinn, and Deadshot, right? Who the hell in their right mind would take the boomerang guy?
Yeah, I know. Like,
but that
is usually
that is one of the very rare times where the gameplay trailer or the actual gameplay has turned me around and be like, you know what? This game has a shot. Like, this game looks actually really good.
Let's hope it keeps up with those expectations.
They showed off Square Enix's new game coming out soon, Forspoken. Have you seen or kept up with this at all?
No, not really.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on it. Let's see. Saint Rose got another commercial.
I remember that.
All right, yeah. So I'm looking at, this might be it for things that really matter. They had so many trailers that it's set that we have to go here and be like, which ones actually matter? We did get the Halo series so the Halo show that's coming out, the first look trailer. It has looked like every first look trailer that they've ever showed us, just a little bit longer.
Yep.
We still have only gotten to see Master Chief for approximately 0.6 seconds in all of the teaser trailers that they've shown.
Yeah.
Elden Ring got another trailer, which I can't believe, because at this point we have seen so many trailers and none of them make sense. And the game comes out in February, so I don't know how many more of these new trailers you need to make. Plus, people already care. And then the big final reveal was Matrix Awakens, which is a Unreal Engine 5 game for free to anyone who owns a PS5 or Xbox Series X/S. Apparently, it's so good looking that it looks like you're playing a movie, and it's really just a tech demo. Hence why it's free, so you can't really complain, right? They actually call it an experience, not a game.
Yeah.
The screenshots I've seen of it do look incredible, but it's also like, you know, this is the big reveal. It's kind of like, this is a letdown. Honestly, Sony and Microsoft had a couple things to show, but they didn't really announce anything brand new, and Nintendo just wasn't there at all. So it was just a whatever year.
Dude, they were off penning the next great idea.
I don't know what the hell they're doing. So that does it for the Game Awards. Great night for me. Your brother owes me dinner now.
This could have on his dime.
This makes my record 3-0.
Don't worry, Gags. One of these days, we will defeat you. One of these days.
And then for the news stories lately, these last 2 weeks, again, because you had the Game Awards coming, no one's really released any news. The big news story coming out right now, and it's all rumors, is PlayStation plans new service to take on Xbox Game Pass. So this is by Jason Schreier on Bloomberg.com. Sony Group Corp's PlayStation division is planning a new subscription service to compete with rival Microsoft Corp's popular Xbox Game Pass, according to the people familiar with Sony's plans and documents reviewed by Bloomberg. The service, codenamed Spartacus, will allow PlayStation owners to pay a monthly fee for access to a catalog of modern and classic games, said the people who asked not to be identified because they weren't authorized to speak to press about the plans. The offering will likely be available on smash hit PlayStation 4, which has sold more than 116 million units, and its exclusive successor, the PlayStation 5, which launched more than a year ago, but is still difficult to buy due to supply chain issues. When it launches, expected in the spring, the service will merge Sony's two existing subscription plans, PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now. Currently, PlayStation Plus is required for more online multiplayer games and offers free monthly titles, while PlayStation Now allows users to stream or download older games. Documents reviewed by Bloomberg suggest that Sony plans to retain the PlayStation Plus brand in, but phase out the PlayStation Now. If we're being honest right now, I didn't know there was a difference between either of them.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think I did either.
Do you even have a subscription to either of them?
I did.
And you are a PlayStation guy.
I did, but I haven't kept up with it in a while. So,
well, because like you don't play any online games, right? So to you, it's probably not beneficial.
Yeah.
Details on Spartacus may still not be finalized, but documentation reviewed by Bloomberg outlines a service with three tiers. The first would include existing PlayStation Plus benefits. The second would offer a large catalog of PlayStation 4 and eventually PlayStation 5 games. The third tier would add extended demos, game streaming, and a library of classic PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games. A representative for PlayStation didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Although the PlayStation has outsold the Xbox in recent years, Sony has lagged behind Microsoft on the subscription front. With this new service, Sony will look to compete with Xbox, a feature that has been popular and lucrative.
My
My only problem with the catalog and like having that be a feature that they offer in these services is that everyone grew up with a different assortment of games.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a vastly different list that they want in these catalogs. So, you know, what I find like it's like say they come out with, you know, like what they define as the top 20 PS1 games, right?
Yep.
Like what I'm looking for might not be on there, but like it could be 20 games that you love.
Yeah.
So, like to me, that's money wasted.
Well, my issue with it too, right? If you think about it, when you think about famous PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, they're not games made by Sony.
No, they're not. Or at least not all of them.
Right. Most of them aren't. And then if Sony were to get them and put them on the service, it would cost Sony money to get them and put them on the service.
Which we're going to end up paying more for it.
Right. Where Microsoft actually has a catalog, or they'll just buy the damn studio instead of paying for the games, which is, you know, an obscene tactic, but it's
vertical consolidation, baby.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, with this three-tier plan, and again, with Microsoft, if I have Game Pass, I download the game and I play it natively on my system. This would be cloud streaming for PlayStation, which was already a thing. Do you remember when your brother tried playing God of War on the PlayStation 3? Or PlayStation 4, but it was a PlayStation 3 game, and he had to play it through the cloud because it didn't allow him to download it, and everything was delayed.
No, I actually don't remember him. I really don't remember that problem.
It was like me, you, him, and MC sitting in your living room, and he wanted to go through and play all the old God of War games. And I forget which one it was, but it doesn't download it onto the system. He rented it through the PlayStation Now, and he instead had to play it as if it was streaming on his console.
So, that is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard in my life.
Right. So if that is what they plan on doing for the other like PSP games and the PlayStation 3 games, because everyone always talks about emulation of the PlayStation 3 is not easy.
No.
I can't imagine this even being worth it, especially if it's the tier 3 that's super expensive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but you know, there's going to be some people that's going to be like, oh my God, it's so worth it.
Well, yeah, honestly, this doesn't sound like a competitor to Game Pass to me. This sounds more like a competitor to Nintendo's service, which gives you their older games, because I don't ever see PlayStation giving you the brand new game at launch.
No.
Which Microsoft does, right? I have Game Pass. I don't have to buy any game that releases from Microsoft, even on day one. On day one, it goes to their service. So if I were to buy 3 games a year, that already pays for their service.
Yeah, exactly.
I subscription based. I think this is even worse, right? Like, if they both go down to a subscription based service,
yeah,
pretty soon that might become the new way to deliver games, and there's no longer any physical media.
Dude, the whole world is shifting towards subscription based. I don't really care for it.
And then look, what's going to happen when third parties figure out their way to do a subscription-based service? Because right now it makes sense for PlayStation and Microsoft to be able to do it because it's their own console. Someone like Ubisoft, they don't really have a way to do it. But if they are able to instead sell a browser onto your console, which you then use and are subscribed to get their content, that could be the way we're going with this.
Remember when we first started the podcast and we did an episode and we talked about our subscriptions, like for like just like for all the different we're gonna end up having the same talk except with like developers.
Which one are worth it, right? Yeah.
And it's and like when we get to that point, that's where we're gonna have to make a real decision about like how gaming moves in as a future.
Right, because we're going to have to figure out who can afford what and who's going to share what password with us, because it's going to be like, all right, I'll get the Ubisoft subscription. TA, you're up to getting the Activision Blizzard.
Exactly.
Dill, why don't you grab the Bethesda subscription, even though I understand that's part of Microsoft. I'm just saying, like, but it's what it's going to come. It's like when they're like, oh, cut the cable, right? Cut the cable and you're going to save money.
They'll just buy Skyrim.
Are we still playing Skyrim or what?
No, we're playing Torna.
All right, Skyrim it is.
I'm not playing Skyrim.
You promised me.
No.
I got it recorded. I could show you the recording.
are gonna play Torna.
TA, what do you think the subscription would cost for that top tier? Everything's included. Right now, Xbox Game Pass is $15 a month.
And that's for...
That's like everything.
That's for everything. But I'm saying, like, and compared to what PlayStation is trying to offer, how close are they?
So Xbox Game Pass gives you every Microsoft game on day one, too. So like when Halo launched this week, you got Halo. You didn't have to buy it. It's just there. Don't forget, Microsoft owns Bethesda, right? They own... That's like all the Doom games. It's all the Skyrim games. Starfield, which comes out next year, which is a big deal, right? Fallout. Yeah. All those are on the Microsoft service. They have a backlog catalog going all the way to the original Xbox that you can download. It's tough to be like, hey, this is what Sony's going to give us because it's only speculation right now.
Yeah.
But I don't see Sony giving us day one releases. If they give you up to the PS4, though, that's still a pretty damn good value.
I think the first tier will be $10 a month.
Okay. Well, I think the first tier, right, realistically, is just a replacement of, what is it? What's the PlayStation thing called?
PlayStation Now or whatever, or PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus, I believe they're getting rid of PlayStation Now. So what is PlayStation Plus Now? I said that weird, but I meant what is PlayStation Plus like monthly?
Called
monthly cost. All right, so PlayStation Plus right now is $10 a month.
Yeah, so I'm actually that to me would make sense.
Yep,
tier one would be $10 a month. I think tier two will be $25 a month.
Really, you're going that high?
And then I think tier three for everything they're going to try and do, I think they're going to charge you $45. I mean, sorry, $40 a month.
$40 a month is way too high.
But, I mean.
Hold on. Let me read what they believe the tiers would be. Acquired. All right. So.
Well, think about it. Like there has to be a valid jump. There has to be a valid jump in pricing for these tiers because otherwise, like, you know, you just get tier three. Because it's basically the best deal, but like it, you know what I mean? Like,
all right, so tier one would be everything that a PlayStation Plus currently offers. So the second tier would offer a large catalog of PlayStation 4 and eventually PlayStation 5 games.
And, but it's because of those PlayStation 5 games that's why I'm going up at 25.
You know what? Yeah, the third tier would add extended demos, game streaming, and a library of classic PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games.
See, all of that combined, $40. Easy.
I think it goes $10.
Mm-hmm.
Or so $9.99.
Yep.
$14.99, because tier two sounds more like a Game Pass competitor. So you got to price accordingly.
Okay.
I think the next one, like you said, instead though, $19.99.
Okay.
Because realistically, I mean, let's put it this way, right? Like, I signed up for the $50 Nintendo subscription that gives me N64, Sega, SNES, and NES games, right?
Yeah.
How fucking often do I touch those games? You know?
Probably not often.
They added Paper Mario that I actually want to play now. That's going to be the first one that I'm really into. I was playing a ton of Star Fox 64. But other than that, like, I finally have a game on it that I want to play. I feel like they'll be the same way, where it's like, okay, we'll put these games on it. No one's really going to touch them, and you'll forget they're even paying for it, and we'll just be banking money from the people who subscribed and don't want their access taken away, even though they never really play them anyways.
Dude, there's always something beautiful about having choice.
That's the thing, right? You're paying for the choice over the actual playing the game.
The media to have the choice.
Yep. It's also like I would prefer, though, you charge me individually and you let me buy the games I want and download them and own them.
That's fair.
I wish Nintendo would still do that. I wish Xbox at least allows me to download it. The only issue is if your subscription lapses, right, you lose access to it. You can technically purchase it, though.
Yeah.
If you don't have the subscription. So, I, you know, it's one of those things where it's like I'm leaning towards this, but they all suck.
So, like, but like, do you see the decision making? The decision making we have to make now. Like, this is going to be a weird kind of shitty future. I think
that's what it's going to become, a subscription based system. I don't think they know how to get their own subscription services in it yet. Right.
Yeah.
Because again, Microsoft and Sony have the kind of backing to do it already. You know, I think Nintendo likes the fact that they kind of have the physical media, and that's why they went back to cartridges, right? They're mm-hmm. still the only ones that do cartridges, because they know Nintendo fans will buy a digital and a physical copy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've done that before, right?
Oh, well, don't put me on the spot, dickhead. Just let me do my thing. All right, TA, that does it for this week. Where can people find you? I caught you with food in your mouth.
Yeah, you did. At Agent Podcast, TA. You know, something never changed.
And you can find me on Twitter at HN_gags. TA, thanks for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, yeah.